Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. This show is also sponsored by reclaimingtherepublic.org as well as 1798part2.org as well as republicreview.org. You are listening to the show that is providing you with the solution to getting the federal government out of our lives and back into the framework of the Constitution, where we all will be able to thrive and enjoy prosperity for our posterity. Yeah. Anywho, let me just jump into the GoFundMe campaign. It is up on the GoFundMe page. Just look for Reclaiming the Republic. And you can go through the details there. We've got the amount of money that we've already expended that we need to recoup. So we're not subsidizing this. We're not getting paid for anything. So what we need is we need some help. So let me throw out some extra help that we need, because it's not always just about money. We're really trying to save. We're trying to do this the George Washington way on the cheap. And so if you have a computer, if you got resources, you've got time and a phone and so forth, you can get involved and you can be very beneficial in helping, especially by doing research and connecting with other people within your county, within your state and so forth. So if you want to become a leader in getting involved, by all means, let me know. Just send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. If you also want to be involved in the campaign in rescinding the 17th Amendment, as well as some other things, you'll want to go to theconstitutionclub.ning.com and just sign up there and, you know, go down and become, you know, identify yourself by your state and county and so forth. And that way you can start getting active in sending emails to state legislators and so forth. We are dedicated to the state legislators, all 7,383 of them, and that's because they are the ones that have the authority over the Constitution to actually step in and do what is needed in getting the federal government back into compliance. That's the word right there, folks. It starts with a C. It's called compliance. Say it with me, compliance. We need all of our elected officials to comply with the Constitution, both the state as well as the United States Constitution. So, as I always do, I did check and scan and breeze through the news. And even though there's a little bit of tidbits here and there, there really is zero signs or any information leading to the fact that the federal government is going to disband any of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers. I'm even looking out the window. I don't see anything happening out there. And so what that means is that we're going to have to do this. If we really want to save our republic, if we want to save the Constitution, it requires us, we the people, to get involved. And I mean we the people, not a democracy, but we the people within a republican form of government. The beautiful thing, and I try to tell people this in these small little red states, or I should say the low population states in the heartland, the fact is here are these the least populated states, Wyoming, the Dakotas, and so forth, and they actually have equal weight in the republic when it comes down to the Constitution. In other words, they have the equal weight as California, they have the equal weight as New York, Florida, and the rest of these states. And so why not be the ones to stand up and say, hey, wake up? So that's why we're focused on Wyoming, Utah, Idaho, the Dakotas, Kansas, maybe Tennessee, Oklahoma, and some others. So if you live in a red state, by all means, reach out. We'll be happy to start getting you engaged, and that would be info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. The phone number to call in, I know I forgot to say this, it's 215-867-8255 if you want to call in and provide some insights, or you've got some questions or thoughts or what have you. So some things to look forward to the week of the 17th through the 21st. And then on Christmas Eve, I will be live and I will be giving you a historical view of of Christmas throughout our Constitutional Republic. So with that, I think you definitely want to tune into that. I will also tell you that the week of the 17th, we have some very special guests lined up. We'll have Mitchell Nicholas Gerber back on talking about what's going on in China, the live organ harvesting, and just how problematic this really is. We'll also have Aaron Tilbury back on, and we're going to be talking to him about sex slave trafficking and the trade of America's kids that have been forgotten. And we want to get into the details of this and how we can hopefully stop this. Both of these guests are heroes going into a very dark world, trying to save people and save people from a very dark evil. And so it's not like they get paid. I know Aaron Tilbury is just barely trying. He's just trying to make an impact in society. So he truly is a hero. It's not like he's getting hazardous duty pay or anything else like your typical first responders. Same thing with Mitchell Nicholas Gerber and the other people he works with. Here's people that are taking on a huge state, a communist state that is, you know, the epitome of tyrannical. And so the fact that I'm, you know, giving them this time and reaching out and helping them is because they're actually the first responders in fighting for liberty for very specific people. It's all about liberty. The framers wanted to ensure and guarantee that we lived in a society that fully embraced and protected individual liberty and individual sovereignty. So those are two critical principles that were fundamental in the establishment of our republic. So let me go on. The week of the 17th, I will also have Keith Broders on, and we're going to be talking about how the Constitution Club and you, if you join, you'll be able to start having a huge impact in, you know, sending out emails to state legislators, reaching out and literally just broadcasting out to these different states in getting them to wake up regarding the 17th Amendment. And I'm hoping to have Alan Myers on as well during that week, and maybe a couple of other people. I'm running out of time, but I'm just trying to pack that week with some awesome interviews to get you up to date. And because it's that time of year, maybe if you happen to have, just maybe, if you happen to have a little spare change, or you have the ability to help any of these organizations, such as the Chinese organ harvesting and what Mitchell Nicholas Gerber is doing, or Aaron Tilbury, then please, by all means, contribute to them, because they really do need help. I know Aaron Tilbury has actually people that they're advocating for that they've taken. He goes in and takes kids out of the sex slave trade, and he tries to get them back into a normal life. And if you've never heard the process that these kids go through, they're treated like animals. They're broken like horses, and they don't think the same way we do anymore. They've literally been modified by a brutal breaker and trainer in getting these kids into literally accepting their role as, you know, as these slaves. So anywho, I think you'll find it interesting. So you definitely want to tune in the week of the 17th for these interviews we've got. As I told you yesterday, my tribute to President Bush Sr., or HW, will be probably in January. I'm not going to, just like with McCain, I think it's in poor taste to, you know, do a tribute, especially if, you know, there's people that are mourning and you're not necessarily aligned with their feelings. But I really think that it's important to, you know, keep a good, even, and objective perspective. So I got to admit, when I'm listening to all of these gushing remarks from progressives and everybody else, and there are the far extreme progressives that are taking their hits on him, but some of these things are just going way overboard, just like with McCain. You could tell that McCain was a maverick, somebody that went against his own principles or those people that were expecting him to, you know, cover their backs or support, where he was actually driving knives into their back. So anyway, we will get into the presidential tribute in January sometime, and you'll find it probably enlightening, and you'll probably hear some things that you may have known, but there'll be some things that you may not have known. And as a matter of fact, I'll just wait till January, because there were some movies that actually came out. One of the things I want to talk about, and I'm running out of time, but this next segment, I'm going to talk about how the county governments really are problematic. In the old days, based on the current infrastructure, the demands, commerce, and everything else, when the Republic was established, there's no doubt that the way the counties were designed, with county commissioners or supervisors and a sheriff, that pretty much was all that they needed for a county. And there may be some counties in rural America, some of the really least populated states, that probably can do just fine with their current structure. But I want to talk about how I believe these counties are really being sold short, especially in some of these bigger states. And so we'll get back to that when we come back from a break. My suggestion on what we need to do to revamp the county relevance in this republic. So we'll be right back. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614, or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the Republic Review model, on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in, and let's get on with the dialogue. Okay, so county governments, what are these things? They're sub-elements of government, and they actually have a very specific role. They especially had a very specific role back in the beginning of this constitutional republic. They've been marginalized over the years, and they have completely lost their representation because they have, again, specific interests for their commerce that they have to deal with, the people that that live in that county, and so forth. And so there are disparate interests for a county of the mountains, a county in the flatlands, valleys, agriculture, coastal. All counties are not equal. And so when you have counties that are in, or I should say, when you have the high populated counties and you start delegating or appropriating your representation based on population instead of the counties, then these other rural counties really become starved. And they literally start lacking and they actually start hurting. And so if you look at where the electorate is divided, the electorate is not divided by state. It is literally divided by county. The county is the sub-element of the state. So the counties really need to have, at the state level, they need to have a single representation in the Senate. That's what the whole point of the Senate was to represent the interests of the counties, the sub-elements of government, just like at the federal level. The states were represented in the Senate. And so the people are represented in the House. And so if you have, you know, high population densities, every county should have at least one representative for both the Senate and their people. And then you divide up the rest. So if you have 40 counties and you have 80 senators, then you need to divide those down to actually 40, and then you throw the other 40 into representation so that the counties that have a higher population, they can have a better apportionment for their population. But every county deserves a representative, and every county deserves a representative for the people, so that you don't have situations like in California and around the Republic where there are 10 counties that are sharing, the people are sharing a representation for one person. That's just incredibly stupid. I honestly believe that as you break the counties down, then you should drill the counties down into a very similar structure as a state. And I say this because counties and the forms of government that they're dealing with, or I should say infrastructure and the services and everything else, is far more complex. In the old days, it seemed like the sheriff was the executive. The sheriff, his focus and job is to enforcing the laws and making sure that the laws are followed. Well, in today's world, the county really needs an executive in dealing with bringing in businesses, looking at, and I know these roles are actually shared at the legislative body, but I don't think that is where those focuses should be. Those focuses should be with an executive. And so I honestly believe that instead of having just a sheriff being the executive, the sheriff should actually be a subcomponent of the executive branch. You have a court in the county, and you have a legislative branch, which is the county commissioners or supervisors, depending on how you break it up, or I guess in Louisiana, they're parishes. And then in the law enforcement, or I should say in the executive branch, you would have a prosecutor, you would have your sheriff, and you would have probably a few other little bureaucracies that you may need that the people would have to be paying for, so they'd have to vote these things in. But my point is I think we've kind of outgrown the concept of the sheriff actually being able to be the competent executive when he's really, his hands are tied in doing law enforcement only. We are fooling ourselves if we think that the executive in a county is actually going to be able to only do that and not really do good in bringing in and attracting growth and so forth for the county, and in ensuring that cross-county relationships, and if your county's on the state and so forth, you need to have an executive that has the ability to actually reach out to these other counties and states and so forth that are appropriate, that are on their borders, as well as driving leadership to hopefully bring, you know, positive changes for the county. I truly believe that that's one of the things that's lacking, and that's why the counties have been completely marginalized, is because they don't have, and I'll just use it, a powerful personality, because that's typically what we get in a president and a governor, is just a powerful personality. They don't have lots of power, but they have enough to drive some changes. If you look at some great governors like Ronald Reagan, Ronald Reagan was a great governor in California, and he made California actually a pretty significant state. Even though it was a significant state, he literally changed it into a more of a conservative state. If you look at Mitt Romney, I mean, Mitt Romney was a governor, and he basically kowtowed to the progressive agenda. And sometimes that's what you have to do. I mean, you're not going to get away with being a governor in Massachusetts and try to drive conservative policies down, because your liberal Congress is going to veto everything, or they'll override your vetoes if you try to stop everything. And so you have to have some kind of balance, but you still need to be able to lead in helping the economy and the economic picture for the county as well as for the state. And I truly believe that states actually ought to start looking at doing a constitutional convention and redividing or getting back to the Republican form of government and redividing the county breakup, in ensuring that you actually have the separations of power of both the judiciary, the legislative, and the executive. Because who does the prosecutor work for right now? If you have a thug sheriff, like I know particularly out here in Washington State, there's at least one. And what ends up happening is the prosecutor's hands are tied. But if you have a good separate executive, then you can actually have better law enforcement, and you can actually have far less of a personality behind a badge. The worst thing you can have is by using a sheriff as the chief executive for a county, is here's the guy that has the total force of the law. He can bring guns upon you. Where the executive, if you have, let's say, a small governor, let's call him a baron or a duch or a duchess, whatever. I don't care what you call the chief executive of a county, but that person isn't packing a gun, and that person isn't the one person over the law enforcement only. He basically makes sure that they're enforcing the laws, and it provides, I think, a better level of leadership and scrutiny to ensure that the laws and the spirit of the laws are being followed more than allowing a thug. And so the reason this has come up, at least in my perspective, is because I've been witnessing a really bad sheriff that is really just intimidating and going after people in a public forum and so forth. I'm going, this is just wrong. The sheriff should not be doing this. And I know that this isn't an outlier. This has to be happening in other places. But the problem is, you know, there's not a lot of people that want to, you know, figure out how to fix that, because they just hope it goes away. Well, here is a way. And that would be in engaging and getting your county commissioners or county supervisors to actually call for a constitutional convention and rewrite the convention of or the constitution for the state. Now, anybody that's worried about this, before you really start clamoring, oh, boy, this is going to just open up a whole can of worms, because I understand with a constitutional convention for our U.S. Constitution, that could be problematic. However, before you start clamoring, go look at your map. Go look at California's map. Go look at every single map of every state, even New York. I challenge you to go look at the New York map and tell me, how many counties are red and how many counties are blue? You'll find that probably almost every state in the union, except for maybe Rhode Island and Hawaii, and I don't know, I know those two are probably solid blue states, but most of them have an even kill, if not they have a higher quantity of red counties than they have blue counties. If you want to create civility in politics again and want to get rid of the tyranny that's coming out of places like California, and we're really going to talk about that in a few seconds as far as ballot harvesting, because I'm coming into a break, but I'm just telling you that you can actually pull back the reins on party controls like that, especially when you start bringing back the relevance of republicanism in these states. They are, by the Constitution, required to be republican forms of government. And so there's lots of ways that we need to get back to that. And one of those ways, as a matter of fact, Keith Borders brought this up, and I love it. Instead of electing by direct a popular vote a governor, I believe the county should elect what we would call electors, and the electors would select who the governor would be instead of a direct election. The only time we need to worry about having a direct election is in electing our own representatives for us, the people, and or our county legislators. Those are basically the only ones that we should actually be directly electing. Everything else should be a representative of doing those things for us, because that was the brilliance, that was the brilliance of the design. And I can get into that a little bit more when we get back after the break. Thank you so much. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, so as I was just talking about, and I want to wrap this up so we can get into some other things, but in understanding republicanism and the real blessing of the using electorates, or I should say electors, in selecting our governors and so forth, the reason we want to do that is because that way we can actually elect those people that really understand the who, the issues, and so forth, because the framers didn't live in a time that they had a copyright or a patent on a dumb electorate. We and everybody complains about the dumb electorate today. I even call the useful idiots that are out there. What we have is we have a real problem with people not having the time to do the due diligence in looking at every single candidate, understanding the issues, and defining which candidate would be best in dealing with those issues. And when you look at how many people vote for in these big, you got the midterms and the presidential elections, where there's a lot of people on the ticket. So that being said, having electorates actually choose the executives would be a better path. I think it was a brilliant idea. I loved the Electoral College. I think that we need to really start looking about applying that for the governors as well as for our, you know, if we go down the path, and I highly recommend people start considering having an executive in the county. It would literally solve the problem of having a tyrannical sheriff and an out-of-control prosecutor and so forth, that because now you have a person that can reel them in. The other thing is, currently, if you understand how people vote, there's a lot of people, and give me the number, give me the percentage, it's well over 50%. It's probably even over 70%. Over 70%, and I'm just guessing here, but I believe over 70% of the people just vote with a blind trust in the party. And so in the primaries, that could be very problematic, because at that point in time, if they're voting with blind trust, then they're probably voting for the incumbents or the name recognition and so forth. They do not do the due diligence in actually making sure that the best person, the most qualified, is going to get elected. So I believe that there are things that the party should be doing so that they deserve that blind trust. And currently they don't, because the party, both the Republican, the Democratic, Constitutional, Libertarian, almost all of them are pretty much a laissez-faire party, except I'll have to retract one. The Democratic Party is a very highly managed organization by a very small oligarchy, those who are in the power of trust, because if you look at the last presidential election, Hillary did not get out there and compete as who was the best. She was given the blessing, and she was anointed with the nomination even before the primary. I mean, there was no point in Bernie or anybody else running. She should have just been let through because they had already made that decision. She was going to be the candidate. Now, the Republican Party had done this too. If you remember, they did it with McCain. They did it with Bob Dole. And so forth. And there have been times where they just literally just say, okay, you've paid your dues. You've been such a good Republican. I still have a hard time understanding how John McCain was considered a good Republican, other than the fact that he had just served that much time. But I mean, he had more Republican blood on his hands than he had Democrat blood. Anyway, we can fix these things, but we actually have to start, you know, getting out of the box, out of our comfort zone. And really, the only way we're going to fix and clean up these states and get Republicanism back invigorated in these states and in your counties again is literally forcing a constitutional convention. So I am actually calling on all state, county legislators, which are your county commissioners or your county supervisors. You guys, gals, you people need to start working together, communicating across the counties in your state and say, let's call for a constitutional convention. Break that thing open, throw away all the crap that the progressives have put in it, because I'm telling you, most all of the states are conservative counties. You can literally take back your state if you've been ruled, like in Illinois. Illinois has a huge population center called Chicago, and they have perverted the Illinois Constitution, just like what's happened down in California, what's happened in Washington State. There's all of these states that are being destroyed by population centers. County commissioners, county supervisors, wake up. Take back your constitution at the state level and take back your government. It's your responsibility. You're supposed to be protecting your county and your constituents, and that county is your constituent. So anyway, let me just calm down a little bit and let me give you some other things to think about. And I find this little bit of tidbit fact or news very interesting. If you're familiar with the Tory Act of January 2nd, 1776, this is where we made a law that if you were a loyalist for another government, which was Britain, then you would be kicked out. The Salvini decree has become law now, and Italy is moving closer to deporting 500,000 illegal aliens out, because these illegal aliens have no loyalty to Italy and they have no desire to assimilate. They have a loyalty to a foreign sovereign, whether that foreign sovereign is Mohammed or a government or what have you. And so there is merit in ensuring that your population and your citizens are protected from foreign entities, or I should say foreign citizens that are coming in that are actually still subject to or still desire to be. Because if you go through the American, or I should say the citizens, oath of citizenship here in the United States, you have to denounce your citizenship in another country as well as your allegiance to that country and other sovereignties. You have to basically say that you are a subject to the, you know, the laws of the United States and to the U.S. Constitution. And if you understand that, then it's really important that you do not allow people become citizens to vote in your process if they cannot actually be a lawful abiding citizen and assimilate to the given laws of the land. You know that old saying, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. But we've got a real problem because there's this huge migration and all, you know, refugees, whatever, of people that have no desire of assimilating. Their desire is to permeate and to take over. And that is why what I see in Italy is actually kind of a breath of fresh air, because this is the direction it needs to go. The citizens of Italy have a right to have their sovereignty protected. And I think it's really important that other countries, and I know Poland has done this as well, so this is pretty good. I'm not sure if you heard, they're doing this, it's called the First Step Act, and it's a criminal justice reform bill that is going through, that's being considered, that will allow inmates to earn early releases for up to one-third of their sentences. Now, if you go look this up, you'll probably find this is actually kind of reprehensible, but I want to give you the 20 types of crimes that people, we're not talking about shoplifting, we're not talking about, you know, embezzlement and that type of thing. So these are the crimes, and I'm going to give you the 20 crimes that they actually list, and you can actually get the U.S. codes, I can give them to you if you want. But the first one's trafficking cocaine or methamphetamines. Even if convicted as a kingpin, they can still get out. Strangling a spouse or an intimate partner. Trafficking fentanyl, except in rare cases. Providing or processing contraband, including firearms in prison. So I don't know how that would be on there, because, you know, if the premise is good behavior and you're providing contraband in prison or guns or what have you. Anyway, felonies committed while in a criminal street gang. And so the next one is escape of prisoners. That can't fall into good behavior, right? Rioting in a correctional facility. Here's another one. I mean, if you're serving time for doing that, then you should really serve that time instead of getting good behavior, because how can that be good behavior while you're in the institution? Anyway, importing aliens for prostitution, assault with intent to commit rape or sexual abuse, threatening to murder a congressman, senator, or government official. Now, that surprises me that the Congress is actually letting that happen. Drug-related robberies involving assault with a dangerous weapon, violent carjacking resulting in serious bodily injury, stealing immigration documents for the purpose of keeping an immigrant in slavery, attempt or conspiracy to engage in human smuggling, failing to register as a sex offender, and arson, blackmail, domestic assault by habitual offender, hate crimes. And I've never got as hate crimes. I'm not an advocate for hate crimes. I think that if we've got laws on the books, the laws should suffice. Murder should be sufficient for somebody, instead of, well, that person hated them, that's why they murdered. Come on. Anyway, let me finish this up. Assaulting a law enforcement officer with a deadly weapon. And those are the 20 crimes that you can get out that just boggle my mind, because some of it is not good behavior while in the institution. And with that, as you can tell, I'm at a hard break. So please stay tuned, and I'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. So you've probably heard already, and there's probably plenty of talk about this, but this is just unconscionable that California had actually backdoored their own people in allowing this to happen. And it's called ballot harvesting. Apparently, the Democrats in California quietly passed a law allowing ballot harvesting in 2016. What this does is it allows party workers, to go door to door and offer to deliver the mail-in ballots on behalf of the voter. Now, what would happen if you happen, because I've told you before, the people that align with subjugation and are looking to literally enslave us to the state and give state all powers over us, those people will lie, cheat, deceit. They live under the umbrella of moral turpitude. They have no morals. And so those who believe in liberty, you know, are completely open and helping other people learn and making the right decisions for themselves, but you've got to make those decisions. And so those people are typically the people that abide by the law. That is why you probably find that most heinous crimes and so forth are never committed by those people that embrace liberty. It is typically by people that embrace some degree of subjugation and or enslavement. So California lost 7 out of the 14 Republican House seats in this election cycle due to ballot harvesting. Do you believe that as they walked up as party representatives for the Democratic Party, walked up and went through Orange County because they ballot harvested Orange County? Orange County happens to be a very red county, very conservative. And so what they ended up doing was, I'm sure they grabbed a lot of all the Republican ballots. And when they confirmed they were Republican ballots, I'm sure they just threw them away because they were only harvesting a very specific, but they already got yours. So you considered yourself voted. And so you didn't go down to the ballots or to the precinct or what have you. The point is that they're stealing elections this way. And so, you know, in Texas, New York, Pennsylvania, and other states, they arrest people for ballot harvesting. I can tell you again, the conservative Orange County turned all blue after an unprecedented 250,000 election day vote by mail drop-off ballots were produced. And these were all for the Democrats. Candidates who won on election day later lost their races to the Democrats. The Democrats don't even hide their blatant voter fraud anymore. They just passed laws to make election fixing legal, and the Republican Party in California has actually sat back and allowed it to happen. And so I have to ask the question, why? What is in it for these Republicans as they literally see their seats taken away from them? Why are they allowing this to happen? I am telling you that the only hope for California are the county commissioners to call for county supervisors. I think that's what they call them there. The county supervisors need to call for a constitutional convention and reel that state in, because at this point in time, that's their only hope, is to literally get the counties all together. And just remember, when you send your delegates for the county into this convention, one county, one vote, just like a state. So here's the problem. Because you have a Democratic Congress, the Democrats will not support a Republican form of government. They do not support the Constitution. So California had its chance the last 2 years, and now they have to wait 2 years before they can really get their ducks in a row. But now is the time to actually prepare and get ready for a constitutional convention and literally lower the boom when the House is actually controlled by the Republicans, because that is where the final jurisdiction goes. This does not go to the Supreme Court. Every time the guarantee clause, which is that Republican form of government, goes to the Supreme Court, they basically say, hey, this is a political issue. We don't have any jurisdiction over this. Congress does. So you want to make sure that both houses are controlled by the Republicans. So get ready, get working, and be ready to pull the trigger on a constitutional convention in your state if your state is literally being manhandled by a tyrannical population center that is destroying your state and your prosperity for your posterity. There you go. Something else to think about. I'm not sure if you heard, but why is it that the European leaders, because just this last Saturday, right, Iran had launched a medium-range ballistic missile. They were basically doing tests. So why is it that all the European leaders are acting so surprised that Iran has violated their agreement? Everybody knew that Iran, at least anybody that understands Taqiya, anybody that understands the doctrine of Islam, they're going to lie and be deceitful in anything and everything they can to further their cause. And they're not going to sit by idly. They're going to try to game the system any way they can. And so I'm not surprised that they've done this, but I am absolutely shocked that these leaders are acting like, oh, well, we can't believe they're violating this agreement. Are you kidding me? Are you that stupid? Now Iran's president, Hassan Rouhani, struck a defiant stance against the United States sanctions on Tuesday, renewing his threat to cut off international oil sales, because bottom line, if they can't export oil the Persian Gulf, then they're not going to let anybody else export out of that Persian Gulf. And so they have that, I forget the name of the horn, but there's that very narrow passageway that goes right by Iran. And they have the ability to actually shoot down and sink any ship that's crossing through that. I remember in the Desert Storm era, they had Silk II missiles and so forth. And you know where Silk II missiles came from? This is our good buddies China that is helping these tyrannical rogue states. China's never been our buddies. They've only been a buddy for the deep state in actually putting together the beast. And that's what we see them deploying. And so one would think, when you start looking at the world leaders today, because one would like to believe that, you know, when people elect their leaders, people are electing the best and the brightest. So apparently, you know, it's not just America that has been electing idiots. It seems like the whole world is dumbfounded, and we keep on electing these idiots, because anybody with any type of intelligence can look at the news and go, yeah, I'm not surprised. And to see these fools act like, oh, I can't believe they're violating this agreement. You know, what are we going to do? Are you kidding me? So here's another thing. And I got to do the due diligence on this, but I just read off of the Need to Know News that this new agreement, this trade agreement that came out, basically Donald Trump, and I believe this is what Pompeo is saying, that a new liberal world order is going to be upheld, and leadership for democracy is going to be pushed out by America. And President Trump and his Secretary of State have claimed in a speech, which has blamed Iran and China for the global instability, what they're trying to do is create a foreign policy to, address this. And he addressed this in Pompeo spoke about this in Brussels. And he told the diplomats, in the finest of traditions of our great democracy, we are rallying the noble nations to build a new liberal order that prevents war and achieves greater prosperity. Well, I don't understand. Is this the same thing as the George Bush New World Order? I don't know, but I've got to find out. And I'm going to be talking to some real Trump supporters to get to the bottom of this, because I've got to read into this. Because as I understand it, some of these things that were passed in this new trade agreement are huge supporting concepts and principles of the Agenda 21 or the Agenda 2030 and UN policies and so forth. I'm going, are you kidding? I'm not seeing anybody else really talking about this. So getting this from G. Edward Griffin and the Need to Know News, this is something big, and I think that this really merits a really good scrutiny. And I didn't have time for today's show, but I want to get it out there that this new agreement is not necessarily anything better. It may be, you know, like that old Who song, meet the new boss, same as the old boss. Anyway, some other things that I wanted to actually point out, because these tech companies are actually getting into a position, and Tim Cook of Apple had come out and said that hate speech has no place on their platforms. In other words, they're building platforms and they're allowing us to use them, whether that be Facebook or whether that be, you know, the Google and so forth. And they're literally going to try to stifle free speech. They're going to be the ones defining what free speech is. And in other words, it's going to be aligned with the far left and or the subjugationists and the enslavers. We are heading into a very dark time if these companies are allowed to literally start stifling speech and we do not have any recourse. I go into the next issue that I wanted to talk about, which was literally closing the border, but I'll just stop on this last thought. I know that the federal government has no responsibility constitutionally in going after companies, going after the baseball for steroids or anything like that. They don't have the constitutional power, but the states need to wake up, because if we take these things back, the states need to step in and start ensuring that our freedom of speech and expression is not infringed. I'm G.R. Mobley. I'm Reclaiming the Republic, and I need your help. So please stay tuned. We'll be back tomorrow. Thank you so much.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.